Good afternoon, or is it evening? I'm not quite sure, but I think evening only starts at 6, so I guess it's a good afternoon. It's great for me to be here. It's my first time in this church. I've been in George before. I have fond memories. I was here while I was in the military for 3 years. I was an NCO, and I did some of my courses here in Oudtshoorn. And there was a ladies' army college. Is it still here? The Leer, is it still here? Yes. Yes, we used to travel down from Oudtshoorn here to meet up with other ladies. And then we used to go to Vicks Bay and Harold's Bay. So as a young man, I'm quite fond of the memories. It's great to be here. My name is Andries. I've got a wife and two children that you've seen. I'm married to the same wife for 8 years. I have both my children from the same wife. And I've been part of the same church for 15 years. I love the local church. I love small churches. I have been in London for 7 years before I've been asked to help Pastor Fred. I'm his assistant pastor in Stellenbosch, so now the congregation is 2,000. But before that, I was in the UK for 7 years to plant a church, and I planted three churches. And I've been where you are at for three times. And it's an exciting place to be. I know it's small, and I know sometimes it can be frustrating. But it is exciting with its potential. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed in the kingdom or the plants of the kingdom of the plants. But when it grows up, it becomes a very large plant, which many finds its safety in. And it's great to be part of a small church. I'm jealous of Paul. I'd love to swap with him. Big churches have many challenges. But the great thing about small churches and the small beginnings is the potential that is inherent in each and every one. I guess the same as in a big church, but with the small church, for me, what is so powerful about that is who you represent. You are the first fruits of something that God wants to establish. And it's amazing to see how God works through each and every one and how significant that is what he has imparted in your life for this season where you're at. So I'm always excited to be at the small church. Like I said, I've been there for three times. And through God's grace, I was fortunate to witness how the church grows. So I'm very excited to be here. Before I start with my message, I just want to encourage you with this scripture in Galatians chapter 6, from verse 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And I'll read it again. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." You know, there's something about perseverance in Scripture that repeats itself. In James, we know that it says that we must count it all joy when we face various trials and tribulations, because we know the testing of our faith produces perseverance, endurance. And when perseverance and endurance completes its work in us, we will be complete and mature, not lacking anything. And there's something throughout Scripture when you read about the process of growth in the middle of this whole process of spiritual growth, of becoming more mature, is perseverance, endurance. And I want to encourage you with that. Do not become weary, but endure to the end. Do not give up, but continue, because in due time you will reap the harvest if you do not give up. I want to share about hunger and thirst, which maybe relates to that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied," or filled. Which translation do I have there? Oh, Only half of the verse. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible, let's quickly go there. Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading here from the New International Version. But it doesn't really matter which one you have. They all say basically the same. Matthew chapter 5 said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, most of the time when we think of hunger and thirst, we think of a problem. If somebody comes with hunger and a thirst, we naturally want to solve the problem. We think that there is something wrong and we need to intervene to solve the problem. But Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied, they shall be filled. But before you are filled, you must first hunger and thirst. Do you see that? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst, because you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied, but before you are satisfied, you must first hunger and thirst. So Jesus said, it is a good thing. It is a good thing if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because in the end you will be satisfied. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst. It is not something to be ashamed of. It is not something that necessarily we need to intervene with. Because Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. My question to you this afternoon is, what do you hunger and thirst for? What do you hunger and thirst for? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be satisfied. My question this afternoon is a simple one. What do you hunger and thirst for? You see, what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be filled with. That's why it's such an important question, because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be filled with. You know, in the natural, if I'm hungry, my wife will normally ask me, what do you want? When I go to her and I say, yoh, I'm really hungry now, she will respond by saying, what do you want? What are you hungry for? Do you want a sandwich? Or you're hungry for pizza? Are you hungry for a hamburger? And depending on what I'm hunger for determines what I will be filled with. You understand the feeling? What do you hunger and thirst for? Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be satisfied with. But first, I must hunger and thirst for it. So my question this afternoon is a simple one. What do you want? What do you hunger and thirst for in life? What is the thing that you really want in life? Because that will determine what you will be filled with. It seems like a very simple question, but it has profound implications. What do you want in life? You know, it's important that we stop from time to time and ask ourselves this question. What do you want in life? What are the things that you hunger and thirst for? Because especially in this life that we live, if we are not careful, we so easily fill ourselves with stuff that does not really satisfy. So that's why it's important from time to time to stop and to ask ourselves again this very simple question. What do I want in life? What am I really hungering and thirsty for? Because before you know it, we tend to fill ourselves with stuff that does not really satisfy. My mother always used to say, when we wanted to eat sweets or chips before our lunch, she says, don't eat or don't fill yourself met wind. Moenie yourself met wind vol maak nie. Maar jy moet eers jou kos eet. You must not fill yourself with wind. You must first eat your food. And in this life and in this modern time, there are so much competition for our attention, for our desire. I mean, advertising in itself is meant to create in us a need that is not really there. Have you ever noticed that? It's like looking at a Verimark advertisement with kitchen utensils. I am not a kitchen person. I don't do food that well. But you will sit and watch a Verimark ad about this kitchen utensil. And they are so good to communicate to you that you cannot survive without this machine. And after 20 minutes, you are actually contemplating the possibility of buying the thing because all of a sudden you feel the need for it. You understand what I mean? This whole world in this modern time, there are so many things competing for our hearts and for our wants. And if we don't stop ourselves from time to time and ask ourselves, what are the things that we really want in life? We will fill ourselves with stuff that does not really satisfy. You can have, you can be hungry, and you can fill yourself with a Vienna hot dog. Two or three. And then somebody will invite you to Jamie Oliver's restaurant. And you can have the famous steak. But you know what? After four Vienna hot dogs, you are not going to enjoy the steak. You don't even want to eat it. Because you fill and you're full with other stuff. So it is important to stop and ask yourself that question. Because what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you will be filled with. So what do you really want in life? Jesus had an encounter with a blind man, or a blind man had an encounter with Jesus in Mark 10. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, you can look down there. But in Mark chapter 10, we read the account of a blind man, Bartimaeus. It's a well-known account of Jesus healing a blind man. And Jesus and his disciples were in Jericho, and while they were traveling out of the city, we can start here from verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you.' And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And then Jesus asked him the following question: 'What do you want?' And Bartimaeus, you must now just picture this. This man, a blind beggar, heard about Jesus. He clearly heard about Jesus. He heard about the fact that this man was a prophet, a great man of God. Or maybe he heard that this is the Messiah. But what he definitely heard is that this man of God healed the sick, raised the dead. The lepers were healed, the lame were walking, and more importantly, the blind see. And as this crowd was passing by him, he heard in their excitement that it was Jesus that was with them. And immediately he started to shout, 'Son of David,' in other words, 'The Messiah, have mercy on me.' And as he was hearing about the fact that Jesus was passing by, you know what? There was a hunger and a thirst that developed within him. He wanted to be healed. And that hunger and thirst made him diligent in pursuing Christ. And as he was shouting, the people around him tried to quiet him down. And when they didn't work, they rebuked him. But you know what? Bartimaeus were all the more diligent to find Jesus. And he was shouting louder and louder until the point when Jesus heard him. And then Jesus stopped. And the way only Jesus can, turns around and says, who's that guy? Call him to me. And then Bartimaeus, so excited, threw off his cloak, and that's another sermon, running to Jesus. And then Jesus asked him, Bartimaeus, what do you want? And Bartimaeus must have thought, what? Are you blind? Can't you see? I'm blind. I want to be healed. But you know what is so important? Jesus was not blind. He could clearly see. But Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want in life, Bartimaeus? What are you hungry and thirsty for? You see, it is so important that we know what we want in life. Because that will be that will determine what we will be filled with. It is important to stop from time to time and ask ourselves that question. What are you hungry and thirsty for? In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, God says the following about faith. He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, it's interesting to note that not everyone is a rewarder of God. But only those who diligently seek Him. Not everyone is rewarded by God, but only those who diligently seek after Him. And we all know what diligence means. I met my wife on a tropical island. That's the truth. I met her on Madagascar. And it was not love at first sight. As a matter of fact, I was quite annoyed by her presence. It was quite irritating, the fact that she was there. It's a long story, but I planned this holiday all on my own for 4 weeks, me and my mountain bike, and I'm going to cycle around the island, explore the rainforest, go up to all the volcanoes, and then I invited my best friend to share this experience with me, who then invited his girlfriend, who then invited the best friend, which was Lisa. So you know what? I was not very happy. I was quite irritated by her presence. But after 4 weeks spending time in her presence, this charming, lovely, fun-loving, hardcore chick, something developed within me. My opinion of her changed. You see, a hunger and a thirst developed within me. I said, you know what? I want this. So I went to God and I said, God, you know, I want this girl. And I said, okay, God, I don't want her. I need her. No, I don't need her. I want her. But you understand what I mean? Then something developed within me. A hunger and a thirst developed for her. And I started to diligently seek after her. Why do you all look so sheepishly? Don't you know what I'm talking about? Diligence. Okay? Something developed within me. A hunger and a thirst, and I started to diligently seek after her. I started to dream. I started to plan. I started to buy. Now, I first had to sell stuff so that I could buy stuff. But you understand what I mean? I started to diligently pursue her. I started to diligently seek after her because of something that developed within me. God is saying, if you diligently seek me, you will find me. In Proverbs, those who diligently seek me will find me. You see, diligence is something that develops within us because of a hunger and a thirst for something. And because of that hunger and a thirst, it develops a diligence in us to be satisfied for what we hunger and thirst for. And God is saying in Proverbs, what is that? No, the next one. In Proverbs 8, it says, those who seek me diligently will find me. If you're really hungry and thirsty for God, God says that you will find me. So my question again this afternoon is a very simple one. What do you hunger and thirst for? What do you want in life? What is the thing that you really want? Because God says that will determine what you will be filled with. What you really want in this life will determine what you diligently seek after. And what you diligently seek after will determine what you will be filled with. What do you really hunger and thirst for in this life? Because that will determine what and how you pursue it. And if you hunger and thirst for it, you will diligently sought to ask for it. And if you do not get an answer, you will start to seek for it. And if you cannot find, you will start to knock. And you will continue persistently until you find it. God says, I love that. I reward that. Those who diligently seek after me, they are the ones who find me. Those who diligently seek after me are the ones that I reward. And my question this afternoon is, what do you hunger and thirst for? In Matthew 7, from verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. You know what? In the Greek, that ask and seek and knock is a present continuous tense. So correctly translated, it should rather say, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For everyone who asks will receive. And everyone who seeks and keep on seeking will find. And everyone who knock and keep on knocking, for them it will be opened. You see, the God that we serve loves diligence. He says that you must love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. God loves that. God looks for that. God says, I will make myself found by those who diligently seek me. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. What are you hungry and thirsty for in this life? What are the things that you really want? Because that will determine what you will be filled with. What are the things as a church that we really want to see? Do we really want to see God's kingdom established in George? Do we really want to see people saved in this town? Are we hungry and thirsty to have our kids have an encounter with God in Children's Church? Do we have a hunger and a thirst to see the youth come to know God? Do we have a hunger and thirst to see our workplaces and our homes turned into a place of worship for God? If that is what you really hunger and thirst for, then diligently seek after it. Pour your life into it. Volunteer, pray, ask, knock, give, do whatever you must. But my question to you this afternoon is, what do you hunger and thirst for? What do you want in life? What do we as a church really want to see in George? And if that is what we really want, then give everything for it. I've heard the announcement about the kiddies church. If you really want to see children turn to God, then volunteer. Pour your life into it. If you really want to see people saved, then ask God. Seek God. Walk the streets. Pray for God to show you. You understand what I mean? And the question is, what do you really want in life? Then diligently seek it. Seek after it. And do not give up. Because God says, blessed are those or hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your love, your faithfulness, God. I thank you, God, that you have given us everything that we need for life, for godliness. God, I thank you that you have called us by name, that you have given us your Son, that we may have life, that we may be free and bold to come into your presence. God, we thank you that you have given us everything, so that there can be no shadow of doubt in our mind how much you love us. God, I thank you for this great and awesome promise that you say that those who diligently seek after you will find you. That you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, God. That you say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. God, I pray, Lord, for every heart here today, God. I pray that you will come and instill in us a hunger and a thirst, God, for you. God, I pray that we will be quiet again in our own hearts and just stop to think again. What do we really want in life? What are the things that I really want? And God, I pray, Lord, that you will come and quiet the things that distract us, that we can again focus on that what you have called us to know you, to seek you with all our heart, God, with all our mind and all our strength. God, we thank you for this great and awesome promise that you say that those who diligently seek you, God, will find you. And Lord, this afternoon, I want to pray for each and every heart, God, that's here today. And I want to leave you with this question while we are praying. I really believe God is asking some of us here today a very simple question. And that is, what do you want? What do you really want in life? What are you hungry and thirsty for? And God says that if that is me, blessed are you, for you will be satisfied. Father, so I want to pray for every person here today, Lord. I want to pray for those, God, who you have been speaking to. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to take this moment and just respond to God's word in your own heart. Just take this moment and just speak to God. Just respond to his invitation. As you are here, I'm just going to give you a few minutes, just in your own heart, in your own words, just to speak to God, just to respond to his word as we're sitting here together. Let us just make use of that. Just respond to him in your own words. While we are praying, and I just want to extend this invitation because I can never leave a place without asking this simple question. Do you know God? Do you know his love? Do you know his embrace? Do you know the gift and the life that it has for you? Do you know of the fact that he has given everything to save your life? And all you need to do is to respond to it, to say, God, yes, I want you. I want you more than anything else, God. I need you. If you are here this evening and you have never given your life to God, you have never responded to that great and awesome invitation, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. To say, God, I want you. I want everything that you have given me through your Son. God, I want to come before you and acknowledge that I am a sinner, God. God, I want to thank you that you've given your Son so that I may be free. God, I ask you to take my life and to cleanse me from my past and make me new. If that is you, if you have never done that before in your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today, because God says, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for me, because you will find me. And believe me, you can find him today. If that is you, today is your day. And I just want to ask you, if you are here today, just indicate to God by raising your hand, here I am, God. I have to ask this because this is the most significant day in your life when you respond to God. Maybe you are here today and you have strayed from Him. Maybe there's other things that has filled your life. Maybe there's other things in your life that you want. I want to encourage you today. God is saying, want me. Do not give up. I am still here. I still love you. Just point your heart towards me again. Turn away from the things that distract you and turn your heart to me. For I love you. And maybe you are here today and you have grown tired. You have grown weary. You have been hungry and thirsty for God. You have been seeking Him day and night and you have grown weary. And maybe you are at the point of giving up. God is saying, blessed are you. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for me, because you will be satisfied if you do not give up. So I'm here to encourage you this evening. I do not know who you are, but if you are tired, God is saying, do not give up. Blessed are you. For I see your heart, I see your hunger, I see your thirst, and I will satisfy you. Don't give up. God has not forgotten you. God has not missed you. God sees your heart. Do not give up. Blessed are you. If you are hungry and thirsty today, and you're even at the point of weakness, of that hunger and thirst in you, God is saying, blessed are you. Blessed are you, my son. Blessed are you, my daughter. For I will satisfy you. Do not give up. Do not give up. I want to encourage you as a church. Do not give up. Do not give up. Hunger and thirst for Him, because blessed are you. Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's a word for someone. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. Stand firm. Do not be moved. Because He will satisfy you. And you will see the fruit of your hands. You will see the fruit of your labor. I do not know who you are, but God is saying, take courage. My daughter, my son. I see your heart. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Father, I thank you for each and everyone here present today, God. I pray especially for those that you have been speaking to. God, I pray that they will be encouraged. That you have not overlooked them, that you have not missed them, that you see their heart, God, and you are excited about them. God, I pray for endurance, for perseverance. I pray, God, that perseverance may complete its work in each and every heart, that they may be complete and mature, not lacking anything. James chapter 1. God, I thank you for those, God, who are responding to your word today. God, I thank you for the life that it will bring. And I know, God, that in due time they will be satisfied. I pray, God, that even in this week, God, that you will just come and affirm them again and again by your word, God. God, I pray that you will affirm the weak, the weary, by your own voice, in the way that they know that you speak to them, God. I pray that you in this very week, God, that you will affirm them, that you will lift them up. I pray for this church, God, as small as a mustard seed, that it will grow to become a tree, God, in which many birds will find its rest and its shelter, God, that many will come. I thank you for this church. I thank you for its testimony, God. I thank you for the first fruit that is gathered in this place. I thank you for what it means and represents, God. I thank you for what you're going to do through each and every one of them. Thank you for the lives that will be changed, God, but I thank you more for your name that will be glorified. And I pray that they will not grow weary, but they will be hungry and thirsty to see your kingdom come in this city, in this town. I pray, God, for a renewed strength to spend time in your word, to spend time in your presence, to pray, to persevere, to see your kingdom come. And I thank you, God, that you will satisfy their hunger and their thirst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you.